Well, good afternoon, brethren. Some of you may have heard earlier this month, they may have heard of the death of the composer Burt Bacharach. He, together with lyricist Hal David, had written a vast number of popular songs for many soloists and groups. He was very, very popular. And during the war in Vietnam in 1965, they composed the song, "What the World Needs Now is Love, Sweet Love. It's the only thing that there's just too little of." And the first verse ends with, "No, not just for one, but for everyone." It was one of the anti-war songs, trying to encourage peace, trying to encourage the end of the Vietnam War. But the title is very true. There is certainly too little love in this world today. But what is love? In English, we have one word for love. But in considering the New Testament, in Greek, there are over six words for love, six different words. And three are very commonly in use for people who study the New Testament. The first of these is called philia, or Philadelphia. It's what the era of the Church of God, Philadelphia, brotherly love. It's also the name of the city, Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love. And this word occurs quite a few times in the New Testament. Another word for love is eros. It's usually thought as a romantic or sensual or sexual type of love. It's certainly closer than brotherly love. But that word does not occur at all in the New Testament. In fact, when we read that a husband is to love his wife, the two words are used are philia, brotherly love, and agape, which turns out to be godly love. So that is the third word of love that is translated in the vast majority of cases in the New Testament. In fact, considering the Apostle John, he wrote five books of the New Testament, and he used the word philia twice. He used the word agape over 50 times, and it's said that he is the apostle of love. Now, when we look at different translations, the earliest one, the Wycliffe, and the Catholic Reims Bible, and the Authorised of the King James, the word love is actually translated as charity, whereas the more modern translations, New King James, and also the Tyndale and the Geneva Bibles, translate agape as love, not charity. Because when we consider the word charity, we think of giving donations to causes, for people or even animals. But agape is very different to this. This type of love is actually a gift from God, which has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. That's found in Romans chapter 5, verse 5. And it's not normally within human ability to have this kind of love. In fact, it is the first attribute in the list of the components of the fruits of the Holy Spirit, the first often being the most important. These attributes, of course, are love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And that, of course, is the list that's given to us in the book of Galatians, chapter 5, verse 22. And in another passage, Paul talks about faith, hope, and love, but then states that the greatest of these is love. So why is love the most important fruit or characteristic to have? Now, we can turn to the book of John, 1 John, the book of 1 John, chapter 4, verse 16. That's 1 John, chapter 4, verse 16, where it says, "And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love. And he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him." We notice it does not say that God is hope or that God is faith. neither is God joy nor peace, nor any other attribute of the fruit of the Spirit, even though they may also be part of his character. But God's character is defined as love. All that he does is because of love. In 1 John 4:19, we read, We love him because he first loved us. In John 3:16, a very common verse, that's chapter 3, verse 16, we read, For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. This is an example of showing how deep the love of God is for us. He actually gave his Son for us. He sacrificed his Son. It's a tremendous act of love. But looking back to the book of 1 John again, 1 John chapter 4, verse 20, we read that if someone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother, who he has seen, how can he love God, whom he has not seen? So how do we love our brother? In 1 John chapter 5, verses 2 and 3, we read, By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. And his commandments are not burdensome. In fact, the first four commandments tell us how to love God. And the last six commandments tell us how to love our neighbour. So let's look at how the Apostle Paul describes love in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 13, beginning in verse 4. The version I'm using today is a paraphrase in modern English, which was prepared for a youth group by the Anglican minister J.B. Phillips. He writes in a very interesting style, actually, always noting, of course, that it is a paraphrase and not a literal translation. Beginning in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4, he says, This love of which I speak is slow to lose patience. And indeed, patience is needed when things go wrong. So we'll suffer without anger or discouragement. Remember, God is patient with us, so we must be patient with others. Continuing this in this version, love looks for a way of being constructive, or it is kind. Kindness is responding to the needs of others when they came to him for help. Next we read, love is not possessive, or as other versions say, envious. If we are envious, we cannot rejoice at the success of others. Are we grateful when others succeed? Or envious? Do we say, why wasn't I blessed instead of him? Continuing in the J.B. Phillips version, love is neither anxious to impress, nor does it cherish inflated ideas of its own importance. In other words, love does not display pride or a feeling of superiority over others. Pride and vanity separate us from others, whereas love draws us together. Continuing, love has good manners. Good manners show that we have concern for others and act so as not to embarrass them with unseemly behaviour. Again, and love does not pursue selfish advantage. Love makes us genuinely generous with a give attitude rather than a get attitude, just as God gives to us what we need. And this one's most interesting. Love is not touchy. That's a good word. Or not easily provoked. Now we know Christ was slow to anger and he ignored insults and did not respond to them. At times he was angry, but he fully controlled that anger. Now we also read, Love does not keep an account of evil. Love is willing to forgive. It does not keep score and try to get back at others for offences received. It is certainly not full of revenge. And continuing J.B. Phillips, and it does not gloat over the wickedness of other people. On the contrary, it is glad with all good men when the truth prevails. A person filled with love never likes to see others sin and suffer the consequences. He enjoys the truth that frees a person from sin and unhappiness. Now, love knows no limits to its endurance, no end to its trust, no fading of its hope. It can outlast everything. It is, in fact, the one thing that still stands when all else has fallen. So that was a great description of love described by Mr. J.B. Phillips. But we must be careful not to let our love grow cold. We're reminded in Matthew 24:12, and because of lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. This love mentioned again is godly love. So obviously those whose love grows cold are or were a part of the Church of God. So in this world, the entertainment is usually filled with violence and adultery. The news is full of trouble, usually caused by people. Even the media tries to pull down dignitaries, to find their smallest fault and publish it for the world. It is a world in which it is difficult to maintain godly love. But if we are close to God, we will long for his kingdom when all these problems will be solved. If we put his love into practice, just as is written in the Bible, we will maintain the love that this world needs and has so little of. And this will fulfill what Bert Bacharach and Hal David wrote about 58 years ago.